Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, I have a delightful guest in the studio. I have Ray Troll. And if you don't know who Ray Troll is, you soon will, because Ray Troll's name inspires awe in the towns of Astoria, Oregon, and Ketchikan, Alaska, and beyond those towns as well. Ray Troll draws and paints fishy images that migrate into museums, books, and magazines, and onto t-shirts sold around the globe. You might be familiar with perhaps his best-selling one, which I believe is Spawn Till You Die. Ray Troll has served as art director for the Miami Museum of Science. He's appeared on the Discovery Channel. He's lectured at Cornell, Harvard, and Yale, and has shown work at the Smithsonian. And he's even had a ratfish named after him, a New Zealand species. And Ray is a 2006 recipient of the Alaska Governor's Award for the Arts. He won a gold medal for distinction in the natural history arts from the Academy of Natural Sciences in 2007. And in May of 2011, Ray joined an elite group of Alaska artists by receiving the 2011 Rasmussen Foundation Distinguished Artist Award. Most recently, he and science writer Kirk Johnson were awarded a $50,000 joint fellowship from the John Simon Guggenheim Memorial Foundation to support a book project, Cruisin' the Eternal Coastline, The Best of the Fossil West from Baja to Barro. Ray Troll, I can't keep up with you. Thank you for being here.
Well, keep
here
going
today.
With those accolades here. I like that.
When you Google Ray Troll, obviously your website comes up, which is so much fun. Oh, your work is so much fun.
Googling the troll, you'll see a lot of different stuff there. Yep.
Oh, yes. And it's not just fish. And actually, here's another little something that was written. I think this is actually from Amazon. It said, artist Ray Troll has developed a huge cult following for his humorous and scientifically accurate paintings of fish and fossils. He has successfully carved out his own category of artwork. Indeed, that's true. Using colorful pen and ink to create drawings about fish, fish worship, evolution, and dinosaurs, all humorously captioned and technically accurate. So, Ray Troll, you are here in Astoria today. Why are you here in Astoria today? You live in Ketchikan.
I live in Ketchikan, but you know we're talking in the winter time here right now, but. I migrate out of Ketchikan. My wife and I, Michelle, live on an island there. You know, it's Revillagigedo Island. So it's nice to get out, and I'm actually down here celebrating 30 years of being married to my beloved Michelle.
Congratulations.
So, and we love this town and just what it's all about. It's really similar to Ketchikan in lots of ways. But you guys have these magical things called roads. You can drive out of here. There's that glorious bridge across the Columbia. There's so much deep history here that I just love, and the restaurants and the people. We have many friends in town here now.
You come often for the Fisher Poets Gathering,
and
which is always
Fisher
the last
Poets,
weekend of February.
We try to be here every other year and sometimes a couple years in a row, but we love Fisher Poets. And even though when I first moved to Ketchikan in 1983, I ran a fish store, so I was a fishmonger, but I also worked in the canneries up there for a little bit, and then I got a studio up there. But for that reason, my association with the commercial fishing industry, you know, they let me participate actually, you know, in Fisher Poets. And because also a lot of the folks, the men and women that work in the fishing industry, have my t-shirts in the wheelhouse, and I've grown, you know, generations of kids now have grown up wearing these shirts. So anyways, I love to do things with my band, the Ratfish Wranglers. We come down to Fisher Poets and we have a grand time.
Ray, we should back up a little bit and talk about Kansas. I think we should back up a little bit. I mean, you back up a lot because you study fossils, because you love paleontology.
Oh, yeah. I go way back, yeah.
You go way back. But let's talk a little bit about your life, the beginning of your life, which was not in the Northwest or Alaska. Where did you grow up?
Well, we were service brats, the Troll kids. Dad was in the Air Force, and in fact, he was in the Air Force before it was even the Air Force. He was in the Army Air Force, but in World War II, he flew in B-29s. But he and my mother are from a little town in western New York called Painted Post, and that's a very tiny town right next to Corning, New York, where the Glass Center is. So I was actually born in Corning, New York, and there are six kids in the Troll family. But like I said, Dad was a lifer in the Air Force, so we moved all the time. And I was, you know, all of us were perpetually the new kids. So 11 different places. And so we were stationed in Japan, and we were stationed in Puerto Rico, Pennsylvania, Alabama. Yeah, that's like I said, Wisconsin. But we also ended up in Kansas eventually, and that was actually after my dad was out of the Air Force in Virginia. But I think that actually early on, if I'm going to lay down on the couch here and you're going to analyze my work now, Donna, get inside my head. I think the fish thing kind of really started in Western New York, fishing for bluegills and crappie and that kind of stuff in the lakes up there. But I think it really kicked in seriously when we moved to Puerto Rico, and I lived right across. I was basically lived right there at the beach, and I could go down to the beach and snorkel and just had all these kind of magical moments down there as a young kid on the beach. And I think the fish experience is really imprinted on me. But anyways, I ended up going to college in Kansas, undergrad school, and then I got out of when I got out of school there in 1977, I just decided, you know, I needed to go to the coast. And I just knew someone in Seattle, and a high school buddy had moved up there. And so I moved to Seattle in 1977. And that was my introduction to the Northwest. And on it goes from there.
So, and yes, and then Alaska
eventually
in
83.
Yes, from Seattle to Alaska.
Yep.
And when did you start, when did troll art really become a thing? I mean, you were a fishmonger, and were you drawing then?
Well, I've been drawing my whole life. I like to say I started this job at age 4 when I picked up a crayon, and I was drawing dinosaurs at age 4. I distinctly remember it. And I am almost 62 years old now, and I am still drawing dinosaurs. And so I haven't progressed very far. I'm pretty good at drawing them now, but I'm using professional crayons now instead of the
kid
crayons.
That's helpful. I'm sure.
But yeah, and the so I've had a lifelong interest in the natural world, in natural history, and in history, you know, human history too. But most people know me from the goofy T-shirts that I do, and I started doing those and. 1984 was my first real foray out into doing some kind of humorous fishy stuff. I'd been living in Alaska for about a year, and my undergrad degree was in printmaking, and my grad degree was in drawing and printmaking. So it was kind of a natural thing for a fishmonger with all this expertise in drawing. I draw all the time, but I started doing these T-shirts, and I like to think of the T-shirts as, you know, every man's art. I really do believe in the egalitarian, you know, access of art. I do think that art should not only be for the folks with a lot of money. I think it should be there for the, you know, the every guy, every person, every man, woman, and child. And I just love the idea of these palettes that, you know, people walk around with. And in the early 80s, you know, artists began to really, you know, there was kind of a movement to do these art shirts, to actually bring art, you know, people were wearing art, and there was a lot of people, you know, kind of doing it at the time, and I was inspired by that, and I started doing, rather than just sort of your common sort of slap a, you know, logo, Alaska, or, you know, Oregon, or something, and the pretty scene there, I wanted to do something that was little different, little edgy, and I seem to kind of hit on something. And yeah, Spondiodi is probably the number one shirt over the decades. Recently, Return of the Sockeye has been very good to me. So, and that one actually was out of print for like 10 years, and we brought it back, and bam, it just went straight to the top of the charts. But, you know, Star Wars keeps going on and on, so that's been very good to me lately.
We hope the sockeye continue to.
Yes, and we do hope that, and we will fight for the sockeye to always return.
And did the T-shirts come then before the books? Because you have like 10 books out, And they're all just incredible. If you have not seen the artwork of Ray Troll and experienced his humor and his writing as well, I urge you to go to just Google Ray Troll. It'll take you right to the Ray Troll website, which is truly like being on a different planet or in a different world in a way.
You're in the troll world,
You're
yes.
You're in the troll world, yes. And you did T-shirts first and then the books came?
Yeah, actually it was the T-shirts that... began to kind of get an audience, and once I had an audience, and basically, you know, that audience, you know, we're in the middle of when I first moved to Alaska, I was intrigued by the fish that I was selling. I wanted to know more about them, but I began to realize that there was a fish culture, you know, and that had there were all these aspects to that fish culture that I was tapping into, and they've been such an important resource here along the west coast of North America, and you begin to realize how they inform and change and transform lives, and there's so many aspects to it, and I began to hit on every front of that I found interesting, you know, not only just the biology of the fish, but, you know, the fishing people and the science of the fish, the managing of the fish, and so all those kinds of aspects. But yeah, I was doing goofy stuff with it, and so that fish culture and getting an audience via the shirts. I'd always wanted to do books, and after I had been doing fishy T-shirts for a few years, I approached a publisher and said, you know, I've got all this. I've got a following. I want to do a book. I don't know what. I get all this art, and I'm kind of writing some songs, too, about these. Maybe, you know, fish and songs, or maybe fish and maybe some essays. And I approached Alaska Northwest Books, and there's an editor there that said, Marlene Blessing, bless her soul. She said, I know just the guy to team you up with. I have a writer who can do what they call write to fit. We'll put the images in front of him, and he'll write some essays. And his name is Brad Mattson. And I ended up doing 4 books with Brad Mattson. And Brad and I are lifelong pals. So we were a blind date put together by an editor. Hmm. And we collaborated on Shocking Fish Tales, and then we did a second book called Planet Ocean, Dancing to the Fossil Record. And that's the show that actually ended up at the Oregon Coast Aquarium in 1996. And then Brad and I did a children's version of that, and then Brad also ended up kind of doing a biographical thing on me. So those are our 4 books there. But
and then you went on.
So we were a blind date.
You did more books, though. I mean, if you have 10 books, I know Amazon has them. What are your best-selling books? I mean,
actually, my best-selling book of all is Shark Book. It's a shark alphabet book. It's called Sharkabet, A Sea of Sharks from A to Z. And that was a traveling show, too. When our son Patrick was growing up, he's like 4 or 5 years old, you know, and I would sit down and draw with the kids, you know, drawing, get the crayons out. And I realized they really, kids love drawing dinosaurs and they love drawing sharks. And I was getting deeper into the world of prehistoric sharks and living sharks. And let's face it, you know, in the fish world, sharks are, you know, they're the attention grabbers. They're the stars, you know. Everybody pays attention to sharks. Hard to have like a show about guppies. Not that, you know, I'm not dissing guppies or anything like that, but sharks, people pay attention. So Sharkabet has been my very best-selling book, and that's a kid's book, and I wrote that one as well, and collaborated with scientists on that to get all the sharks accurate, and that show was good to me, the exhibit and the book. But that also led me to, there's one shark in particular as I worked in that book that began to really fascinate me. And I kind of acted as a citizen scientist on that one, if you will, in that my passion for understanding this one shark, I was just so puzzled by it, fascinated by it, and I wanted to know more about it. And that led to a whole kind of a scientific breakthrough in a way with this one weird shark from the past. And we finally understood. I collaborated with scientists, but it was my passion for that really ignited interest in some other scientists, and other scientists. I just play one on TV or whatever, but I'm not a real scientist. But anyways, they got intrigued with it, and there's an exhibit right now that's traveling around called the Buzzsaw Sharks of Long Ago, and that exhibit is in Eugene right now.
Yes, you have an exhibit in Eugene. In fact, I don't know if I skipped over this, but really over your three-decade-plus career, I think you've exhibited in most of the scientific museums in America.
Didn't you read somewhere that said all museums?
Yeah, I think it said all scientific museums. That would be probably impossible.
Do we even
know what all of the scientific museums and all? But the thing is that people are so impressed by the fact that not only do you do this fabulous, interesting, unusual, unique art, but you also, it is scientifically accurate, and it's because you have this love for paleontology and fossils.
But not only paleontology, but ichthyology too. But yeah, I like to get the critters right, you know. I do like to, it was a little disconcerting when I'd have an exhibit and I'd do these elaborate drawings of fish, and then some darned ichthyologist would come in and say, you know, you got the fin count is off on that. You know, they've got, 13 fin rays and not 10. So that would haunt me. It would trouble me so.
So
anyways, I like to get them right.
Study of fish.
Ichthyology is the study of fish.
Ichthyo. Yes. Right. Oh, and I should take a moment now and just do a quick station break. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns on KMUN 91.9, and I am your host, Donna Quinn. Today, I have Ray Troll, the infamous and famous Ray Troll of the Ratfish Wranglers. That's a musical group. They have three CDs out. Cannery Girl is probably one of the most famous ones. If you haven't heard that, I think there's a YouTube video about that.
Yes,
is that right, Ray?
Yes, there is.
Okay. And we've been talking about his books and his artwork, and he currently has an exhibit in Eugene. And there's also coming in 2016 big fossil map. Is that correct?
It's a big fossil book. This is what I got a Guggenheim Fellowship with my buddy Kirk Johnson, and Dr. Kirk Johnson. He is a paleobotanist. He is the director of the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History now. Midway working on this latest book, he applied for the job out there, and now he's running the nation's largest, well, actually the world's largest natural history museum, which is astounding. I have to pinch myself every now and then. My co-author is the director of the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History. It's like a dream job, you know. But he and I are good friends for 20-plus years now. We've done the one book together. And that second book, we got some Guggenheim support to support the travel. So this on the second book, we actually were able to afford airplane trips and stay in nice hotels and but also mount a few exciting fossil adventures, some expeditions out to actually go collect fossils. And we've been working on the book for 5 years, and the due date is April 1 coming up here. So if this is an evergreen show, hopefully that we'll meet that deadline, and the book should be out in the fall of 2016, might be the spring of 2017, but if I know me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But still, that's the thing that's quite amazing is that you have all of these books behind you and all of these shows and museum exhibits. And again, in Eugene, there is an exhibit currently, and you're doing work on a lot of Oregon fossils. But you just continue to work. You continue to be interested and fascinated in things. And one of the things that I am impressed by, too, is that you deal with evolution in this really lovely way.
Well, evolution. You want to talk about the E word? Can we mention that here on this radio station?
I think we could probably talk about that.
Well, let's do it. Let's plunge right in. Well, evolution is, I'm amazed that it is still, that there's a good percentage of Americans that still don't quite buy into it. I'm really astounded at that. I try to change that where I can through fun and whimsy and not being confrontational, celebrating the extraordinary things that have happened on this planet and the extraordinary chain of events to led to you and I being a couple of vertebrates sitting here talking into microphones. You know, it's really profoundly absurd almost when you look at it, but it's also endlessly fascinating, and we should be all fascinated by it. And I think truly that you know, it should be taught from early on. You know, I think we should be teaching kids about it. I did that with my kids. It should not be. It's usually a topic that's brought up around, you know, in junior high, or maybe by high school. You know, then it's in the textbooks there. But I've actually found that even though it may be in the textbooks, it doesn't mean the teachers are necessarily really teaching it in the class. They sometimes will skip over it, or the kids are left to read it on their own or somehow. But it's an extraordinary story of how everything in the world is related. It's a profound thing that life has happened only once on this planet, and everything started from there. It all goes back to the origins of life. And actually, if you want to get weird about it and think about it even deeper here, is that in the big picture, really, we are, when I started tumbling into the world of fish and ichthyology, leading me, you know, in my twin interest in ichthyology and paleontology, well, when you start nerding out on fish and beginning to understand the relationship between all the fish families and all that, you begin to realize that we are descended from fish, all of us with backbones on this planet. And really, when you look at it, you realize, wait a minute, if we are descended from them, we are them, right? So really, we are modified fish. So,
That's a great way to look at it.
Well, if you actually think of yourself, so if you're into fish worship, is it wrong? Well, this is what happens, is that you realize in the end that, you know, we are modified fish. So every creature that with a backbone on this planet, bony creatures, are descended from the fish that left the water. So, and these are lobe fins. They're called lobe fins because they've actually got kind of little elbows and, you know, little beginnings of fingers. And these are the animals. These are the fish that kind of crawled up in the land in the late Devonian, and maybe even the middle Devonian now is what we're beginning to find out. And everything took off from there. So there were descendants of that group of fish. So really, like I said, if you are... consider yourself, it's like the Hatfields and McCoys or whatever. If you're a Hatfield, you know, your kin were Hatfield, you're still a Hatfield, so you're still the descendant. So if you are from that branch, the family branch, you are, you know, so anyways, look at it that way. So actually, when you're walking around on, and I always like to do this, you know, these, you know, they don't call them fingers for nothing, but your pectoral fins are your arms and your pelvic fins are your legs. So you're walking around in pelvic fins. And really, there's some great books out there on it. Dr. Neil Shubin did a book called Your Inner Fish. And that is a really great book. But, of course, Brad Mattson and I, when we did the Planet Ocean book, we had a lot of fun with the idea that, wait a minute, we're all fish. And really, you can talk to you. Go check with your paleoichthyologist. And they will confirm that you are a descendant of fish, and therefore you are a fish. You're a lobe fin fish.
And you also have a book called Cruising the Fossil Freeway, an epic tale of a scientist, or epoch.
Epic tale.
Okay. Yeah, well, tale of a scientist and an artist on the ultimate 5,000-mile paleo road trip.
That's the first book that Kirk and I did, right. And that basically is the Rocky Mountain States. And the second book is The Eternal Coastline, Cruising the Eternal Coastline. That's the best of the fossil was from Baja to Barrow. And that's the one that, is coming out in 2016.
You're still having fun doing this work, Ray.
If it ain't fun, why are we doing it? Yeah, so if it ain't, really, seriously, if it's not fun. Yes, and I'm in my 60s now. I guess I'm certifiably, you know, I can... you know, get discounts at the movie theaters now. So I guess I'm an old guy, you know. So, yeah.
Well, the sense of humor, though, that runs, I mean, your work has, is, it's very hard to even categorize. I mean, what do people even say? I mean, is there something more you want to do before you say, well, I'm kind of, you want to do more CDs, you want to do more with the Ratfish Wranglers, more with your music? What does the future look like? I know you're working on this book right now, the new book, but what other things excite you right now about life?
Well, I think I'll just I'll keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm playing music with the band, the Ratfish Wranglers. Love making music, and I think everybody should be in a band regardless of ambition or talent. Three chords in the truth. It's just fun to do that. So I'll keep playing music, keep drawing pictures, painting pictures, following my my curiosity, following my scientific. Thoughts. I like to hang with scientists. Science really informs a lot of my work. But yeah, I'll probably keep making the T-shirts. And you know, artists don't retire. They don't get to, nor do they really want to. You know, I mean, I really, you know, I think one of the sayings Confucius said it. You know, find work that you love, and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Find a job you love, you never have to work a day in your life. And I found a job I love, and it's just what I do. It's
well, it's a gift to all of us who love fish, and even those who don't appreciate and love fish. There is, of course, a certain kind of fish worship in Astoria, obviously, because this town was created with essentially with salmon money. I mean, there was some logging, of course,
salmon
too,
money,
but,
yeah.
But the salmon, the sacred salmon, really is, you know, and our relatives, you know.
Our
really
finny relatives are the ray fins.
Yes.
We're the lobe fins.
Yes, yes.
But... yeah, salmon, when we get down to it, it really is a salmon-driven culture here in the Northwest in particular. And salmon have given so much to us, and we owe it to salmon to keep fighting for them, too. So it's a great relationship.
That's true. We just have a few minutes left, Ray. What else would you like the listening audience to know about either you, your work, about, you know, fossils, about anything that comes to mind? What would you like to leave the listening audience with today?
Well, I'm assuming most of the listening audience is Oregon folk.
It's worldwide.
Is worldwide. It worldwide?
Oh,
worldwide.
Yeah, there
right.
are people
well,
who listen to us all over the world.
Well, the wonders of the natural world are just endlessly fascinating. And if anything, what I'm trying to do is just trying to point out a few things of, you know, these cool things, digging deep into the vaults and trying to find, I'm following my curiosity, but I'm really thankful for the audience that I have gained over the years. And that's one of the greatest things that, you know, get to as an artist is to have a relationship with the people that, you know, I mean, even via Facebook, via the web. So it's a nice feedback loop. I'm continuously inspired by things I see, but also people turn me on to these great things. So it's a great relationship. But I think there's a lot of stuff about the state of Oregon. Well, actually, in working in this new book with Kirk, I found out so much in the last 5 years and some interesting, just fantastic stories. Gigantic salmon from long ago, right? Okay. Saber-tooth salmon. These are real creatures. Turns out, maybe the sabers are more like spikes, but because there's these, they're sideways pointing things. It's just endlessly fascinating. But this is a fish that reached, you know, 8-10 feet long. It was, you know, a 500-pound fish going up the ancient Columbia River. And there, I mean, imagine saber-tooth salmon in the Columbia River. It was not all that long ago in the big scheme of things. So there's those kinds of things. Go see this weird shark show in Eugene if you can, if you're listening to this before the show closes. But actually that show will be going on to different, it's going to New Mexico after that and then up to New York State. Back to where I was spawned, actually. So it's going to be up there in a couple years. But anyways, I guess one thing I want really people to know is I'm eternally grateful for the audience that I've gained. I'm really, and I'm grateful that you've given me this time to share my weird and goofy story. And I hope you don't get too many cards and letters about using the E word there. But It's a celebration of where we come from. Get in tune with where we come from, because I think we owe it to ourselves. If we don't know where we come from, how can we possibly know who we are and where we're going?
Oh, well
said. There's a profound.
Thank you so much.
Make that a PSA, will you? It's a wrap.
Okay, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Ray Troll.
Cut to music.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Ray Troll. And again, you can find Ray Troll's artwork. All of his amazing creative ventures are online. Ray Troll. Thank you so much again for being here today.
Thanks, Donna. Really, it was fun talking.
Yeah, great fun. All right, and thanks all of you for listening to this station. Thanks to Kate Brister for being our engineer and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. And you know what to do. Until next week, take a deep breath, appreciate yourself, and this planet, the only one we know of at this point in time, which supports life. Thank you so much for listening.